Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
I also believe that no woman should be forced to make a different decision than another woman would make purely based on her income. I believe that a woman living with limited financial means should not be put in a position where she has to choose something different than a woman of higher income would be able to choose. These are my personal beliefs. I tried in the spring, and I've tried for months as this bill was debated and ultimately passed, to find common ground with both sides of this issue.
That's Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner talking about a bill he signed into law yesterday expanding taxpayer-subsidized abortions. We're going to be talking about that bill and the governor's signature, what it means for Illinois and for taxpayer-funded abortions. Regina D'Amico joins us. She's Program Director for Illinois Right to Life. Regina, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much.
You heard the governor there and his reasoning, especially claiming there that he had tried to work with both sides on this bill to find some kind of a compromise. What's your reaction?
Well, our reaction is that we are just absolutely devastated, and we are heartbroken that our governor went back on his promise, and he signed this extremely out-of-touch abortion-expanding bill. Now, last April, Governor Rauner had promised that he would veto HB 40, saying that he recognized there were sharp divisions of opinion over taxpayer funding of abortion in our state. And that's what we're talking about here. And he promised this to not only the public, but also to his legislators, to Cardinal Blaise Cupich, and the entire GOP delegation in Illinois even wrote him a letter imploring him to veto this legislation. So all the Republicans in the House and the Senate actually voted against this bill. But he went against that. Everybody in his party, he went against his promises, and he decided to sign this bill into law. And he even said, like I said, he recognized that there were sharp divisions of opinion over taxpayer funding of abortion in our state. And the really, truly sad thing is that now every Illinoisan is going to have to pay for free abortions, whether they like it or not, for those on Medicaid and state employee health insurance through the full 9 months of pregnancy. So we're talking up until, you know, the day before birth. And for any reason, even when the latest scientific research has shown that the unborn child can feel pain and survive outside the womb. So we are just absolutely devastated. We feel betrayed. And we are just deeply saddened for the thousands of additional unborn babies' lives that will be lost because of his actions.
His reasoning, of course, as he stated there, was that low-income women have more limited choices because of fewer financial means than women of more substantial income. How do you respond to that argument, that he simply wants women of varying incomes to have the same choices, not to have more abortions necessarily, but to have at least the option.
Well, it has long been the policy of the state of Illinois, like the majority of other states in America, that its citizens should not be required to pay for other people's abortions. Now, currently, in Illinois, the Medicaid program covers abortions already in the cases of, in the rare cases of rape, incest, and when there is a threat to the health and life of the mother. But in its current form, and the form that, you know, he signed into law, HB 40 expands this to abortions for any reason, even when it's inconvenience or birth control. And that sends a horrible message to basically to the rest of the nation. I mean, he's changing the character of Illinois and potentially America.
Does the funding of abortions through taxpayer money, does it increase or decrease abortions? What's the track record there?
Great question. Well, based on data from the last time that there was actually Medicaid funding of abortions on demand in Illinois, which was in the 70s, we are projecting, based on this data, that 12,000 or more additional babies will be aborted every year. And the ACLU actually came out and said that 18 to 35% of those on Medicaid state that they will not have an abortion unless it's free, which raises concerns on how much this bill would increase the number of abortions in Illinois and at what cost to the state, which is already overburdened with unfunded liabilities.
Where do the people of Illinois, the citizens, appear to stand on this issue?
Oh, that, you know what, that is also a great question, because even the governor, like I said, he recognized that we are very divided. But Illinois Right to Life, in fact, co-sponsored a poll with Catholic Vote. And we found from our poll that 58% of registered voters in Illinois, now this poll was statewide, we found that 58% opposed taxpayer funding of abortion versus 32%, which did not. And it's also interesting, we found that 40% of voters would be more likely not to vote for Governor Rauner if he signed this legislation.
I gotta wonder, he made this promise to veto it. He probably garnered election votes because of that promise from pro-lifers. I'm not asking you to read his heart or his mind, but why do you think his mind was changed? Where was the pressure coming from on the governor to sign this into law rather than veto it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do know that the pro-abortion forces were working extra hard on him. Now, I know that the lobby in Illinois, the abortion lobby in Illinois, is, you know, quite intense. It is a battleground here. Planned Parenthood likes to call us the oasis, because this is the state in the Midwest that has the most abortions. So they have a stronghold here, and they definitely were putting pressure on the governor. I can't speak for what other forces might be in play here, but I can say that we just feel absolutely betrayed, because he promised when he was running that he would not have a social agenda. He was a no social agenda candidate, and this clearly goes against all of that. And we just feel betrayed.
Then I got a question based upon something you said there. It sounds like Illinois stands, at least in its region, as a major exporter of abortion, in the sense that people will cross state lines to do this. And that would, this would seem to probably, while not, this would seem to exacerbate that problem, that people are coming to visit not because Illinois is such a great place to visit, but because you can come here and get an abortion. What are your thoughts?
It is truly a sad reality. We have learned from the Illinois Department of Public Health that thousands of abortions are actually from women coming from out of state to Illinois. So the effects of this bill on that, I can't say for sure. But we can say that in Illinois alone, just this past year, we had over 39,000 abortions, almost 40,000. And this bill is absolutely on track for potentially increasing that by the thousands every single year.
Do you think that if Bruce Rauner decides to run for a second term, that he will face opposition in the Republican primary precisely because of this issue?
Well, the backlash has been huge. I can tell you that for a fact. The moral and political fallout has just been incredible, and we have seen multiple legislators, multiple organizations throughout the entire state just come out and tell the governor that he has lost their trust. He has completely lied to them, and they will not support him. So this next election cycle, we can tell it's not looking too good for him. And if the citizens of Illinois are feeling betrayed, the ramifications of that are going to be great.
Would you speak a little bit more about something you mentioned a moment ago in passing, and that is Chicago Archbishop's reaction to this? What has it been?
Well, the Archbishop, actually now he's Cardinal, he came out and he even said that Governor Rauner broke his word. He broke his word to the people and, quote-unquote, especially to those who have continued to speak on behalf of the vulnerable child in the womb, because Governor Rauner had spoke with him, and he told him that he would veto this legislation, and now he went against his promise to the Cardinal, so that's pretty big.
What can Illinois residents and voters do about this? Obviously, his signature is his signature, and the legislature works the way it does. This is now law, but what can voters do from this point on, Regina?
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as like organizations like us, we are looking into what legal recourse options there are. But the voters, you know, we recognize that politicians were never our hope in winning the abortion battle. Like I said, Illinois is a battleground, and we're just going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep up the efforts. Now, because we need to remember that we don't have to make abortion illegal to make it unthinkable. That's the key. That's what we need to do. No matter how hard the abortion industry tries to expand abortion in our state, we need to work to make it unthinkable on the community level. So, Illinois voters, you know, it's time to double down on our pro-life efforts. And through that, we can save lives and we can change this state from the ground up.
Regina D'Amico is Program Director for Illinois Right to Life. You'll find a link to Illinois Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Regina, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
On the other side of the break, we're going to conclude our five-part series on congregational membership. Today, we're going to be responding to a few objections to church membership. Some of them you've heard, churches full of hypocrites or people who are judgmental, that the church has me burned out, the church isn't what it appeared to be in the early church. We'll answer all of those with Pastor Peter Speckard after this.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Creo en Dios Padre Todopoderoso. Millones confesan los credos cada semana. ¿Pero por qué? Aprende más sobre los credos cristianos y las confesiones luteranas este mes en The Lutheran Witness. Recibe 6 ediciones de la revista principal de la Iglesia Luterana Sínodo de Missouri para $6.99 por visitar a cph.org/trilutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc. not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.